Here we go. Here we go.
Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast, and try as you might, you're never gonna knock us down. I said that in reference to the tree that we'll eventually talk about, but now I'm realizing it maybe more so refers to that Chumbawamba song. Oops. Oh, Danny boy. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. I'm Harry Mackin, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
And also with us today is super producer Jason, or as we like to call him around here, Mr. Daphnis. And you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. And that's kids, kids, kids with a ZZZ. Today we're talking about episode 29 of Hey Arnold, which translates to season 2, episode 3, going by production code order. We'll start with 29A, which of course is called Save the Tree. Original air date September 22nd, 1997, and the Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Arnold and the gang must stop Big Bob from chopping down the oldest tree in town. That's it. And as always, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible, we've got Dan Povenmire in the director's chair, and Joseph Purdy, a.k.a. the Purdman, helped bring this to life via the pen and paper, or whatever he used to write this. Great episode. Emily, let's kick it to you first for your thoughts. What did you think about Save the Tree?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking, Cody. I agree. It's a great episode. I love seeing Grandma save the day at the end. It's a really great Grandma episode we have here. And yeah, the kids care so much about this tree, Mighty Pete, for obvious reasons, since they have, you know, the sentimental attachment to their treehouse there. So they kind of want to do everything they can to protect the tree from Big Bob knocking it down and building the Beeper Emporium. And yeah, I like seeing too Helga try to reason with Big Bob about it. She obviously wants her love, Arnold, to be all right in the end here, and for the tree that he cares about to be okay. So she wants to like fight for him in that way, but she kind of takes a sideline after a while and just lets the whole thing play out. But then at the end, again, when we obviously see her reappear when all the kids couldn't sleep and show up at the tree at the end of the day. So nice to see her come around too. But she has to like say that, you know, Arnold, this isn't because I care about you sort of a thing. This is because, you know, I'm just not getting along with my dad and I really just, you know, want to get even with him. So don't you worry about this being about you at all, Arnold. And then shortly thereafter, like, leaps into his arms when the bulldozer comes by. So pretty great stuff. And yeah, Grandma is the hero here as Tarzan and as a great hippie outfit-wearing protester to save the tree. So yeah, awesome episode all the way around. And yeah, can't wait to hear what y'all have to say about it.
Yeah, for sure. Shout outs to Grandma, the undisputable MVP of this individual fight and the Grandma S characters who fight the good fight in all regions of the world. You love to see it. Harry, we'll throw it over to you now. What did you think about this episode?
Hey, thanks. This is Joseph Purdy's first of the new season, I believe, right?
That sounds vaguely correct. I can fact check in the background, but that sounds
very
right.
Well, thank you. It makes sense, right? And I think that it's almost Joseph Purdy just sort of flexing or reclaiming the crown, right? Because I think it's like a superfluous episode of Hey Arnold in the sense that it's kind of the first time you can see almost a template emerging, right? Where like this hits all of the beats that I think we've come to expect from a Hey Arnold episode, and it really nails them all, and it nails them all with such care and precision that it doesn't feel like a template of an episode, right? It feels like something they really, really wanted to make, and that shines through. But like, you get the Helga scene where she quarrels with her dad. Oh, that's right. He did the big scoop as well. I think he co-wrote that one, didn't he? Okay. Well, anyway, yeah. Joseph Purdy's the man. He's one of the best writers on the show, I think. At least he's emerged as so in my rewatch. But we get the Helga scene. We get the sad scene, the emotional scene where Arnold's thinking about his failure and the sort of inevitability of capitalism crushing his dreams. We get the scene of community, and then we get the big climactic scene. Like, it's all there, right? It's exactly the stuff you want to see from an Hey Arnold episode, and he renders it all so well. And this might be a weird takeaway, but I think that this is such an optimized episode, right? Where it's like, we've always talked about how sort of well-worn the plot beats of an Arnold episode can be, where like they move through so slick, and they get so much done so effectively. But in this episode, I noticed that like Purdy had such mastery over the plot beats and the characterization that he found time to like insert these really great little character establishing jokes. Like Emily mentioned, Helga jumping into Arnold's arms, or Arnold throwing the cup to try to stop the bulldozer, and then Helga mocking him for it, which is so perfect. And so it's almost like he's finding ways to get better at writing the show, which is super exciting. And as always, I think this has a really great message, right? It's actually surprisingly nuanced, right? Because it's like, it's not just a sort of defense of Arnold's idealism, which the show itself lampshades, with Helga pointing out that she's again caught between Arnold's quote foolish idealism and my father's quote unbridled greed, which was such a great scene. But it's also that that sense of community, right? Because it's like, this time when Arnold goes out on his sad walk, he's joined by all of his friends. And it actually turns out important that all of his friends go there, because that is what stops Big Bob, is that he notices everybody's there. And he says, well, this must have been pretty important to you if you all risked your lives for this. So there's really a sense of community coming together to preserve that that unfailing idealism on Arnold's part, which I really think is a great way to sort of like follow up. And they even lampshade how similar this episode is to The Vacant Lot, right? Because at the very end, Bob mentions The Vacant Lot, but like you had said, Cody, that's not really, it really works, right? Because it's, instead of saying like, hey, this is a similar episode, it's saying like the fight never ends, like you said, right? And it's like, we saw that with Grandma and how she remains committed despite the fact that she's been fighting this battle forever, and that even her own husband is sort of disillusioned with it. But we get to see that like it does pay off, right? Like there is a reason to feel this way and to continue to advocate in this way. And so it's really great, really funny, really like emotional and just realized episode, I think, in a way that Purdy often did. But I think this is one of his most successful examples.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think a lot of what I have to say is essentially piggybacking at this point, but the two sort of standout people from this episode, obviously, as it's been said, Grandma, but then also on the other end of the spectrum, you've got Big Bob, and they're two like brilliant and hilarious extremes of characters that we've seen on the show before. But especially Big Bob, whenever I see him on screen, just because he is more of a secondary character almost compared to Grandma, who usually floats around in either in the foreground or the background of a lot of these episodes. But Big Bob, especially, I think is just like, he's very effective. He's very hilarious as, again, a very extreme character. I was writing down a lot of quotes from everybody in general, because this was an exceptionally like well-written and like episode, and the dialogue was great from everybody, but everything Big Bob said was just like picture perfect. But this is a very earnest and full-hearted story, but it's also like, it seems to be an episode where Purdy and the gang, you know, they're aware of, you know, they're sort of sneaking in they're recognizing the futility of these sorts of fights. You know, as Harry said, you know, the fight never necessarily ending. There's always going to be conflict in that regard. So that they were sure to be very like tongue in cheek about that as they went, just sort of the little drops, you know, trips to the government office, and you just, oh, the government loves kids. It's like, yeah, right. They've never loved kids. But I guess my last sort of big thing, and I realized this while watching, this never really clicked with me before, but that scene Harry was talking about, where it's Arnold sort of basking in what he believes to be his failure. The Jim Lang music is really hitting, and he takes it. I didn't actually look at the timestamps. It feels like a full minute, but he climbs up onto the rooftop and walks, not just walks to the tree, but like walks across the city, across these areas that we've seen so frequently before in other episodes. And then he comes together and sees that like all of these other kids, his friends, felt very much the same way. It's, in retrospect, honestly, like a perfect scene in a pretty perfect episode, if for any other reason, because that like feels to be this, like it perfectly encapsulates the sort of message or like guiding light of this show, is that this is like the experience of a child, and a lot of these experiences are universal and sort of like, you know, reflecting on the community that comes with that. And, you know, by virtue rather of this episode and the show existing, like, I don't know, like perspectives coming together. It was just really nice, and I'm not really doing it justice, but I don't know, that scene really stood out to me and really touched me in a way that not a lot of scenes have up to this point. So yeah, this episode is elite, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I couldn't agree more. And I really like that y'all both pointed out how strong the characters' lines are in this episode, because I was writing down a lot of quotes too. But yeah, the one where Big Bob is describing the beautiful tree, the Mighty Peat, as a natural spot for a beeper emporium is hilarious to me. He had so many really funny lines, despite the fact that he's also so aggravating, obviously, and like the enemy here in this episode. But the one other line that really stood out to me was Sid's line at the end, where they're trying to throw all the furniture to stop the bulldozer from knocking the tree down. And Sid goes, "We've thrown everything but the kitchen sink." And you're like, oh my God. And then he's like, well, here goes. And he throws the kitchen sink that they had in the treehouse for some reason. So good. So many good lines.
Well, it's because Grandpa in an earlier scene established that he had built that kitchen sink when he installed indoor plumbing into the first treehouse in the city, or when he built the first treehouse in the city with indoor plumbing. So I loved that callback. Cody, you characterized all of that really well. I think that this episode does like a couple things that are very uniquely Hey Arnold that I kind of wanted to talk about, right? And I think that scene you just referred to is the big one. I think that like those scenes, as sort of Craig himself mentioned in our interview with him, those are the scenes that really are the spirit of Hey Arnold to me, right? Is the fact that like this kid show is the kid show that says, we're going to take, you know, a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes out of our 13-minute episode to just sit with the feelings, right? Like, no, I feel like that's such a unique aspect of Hey Arnold, is that they're like, okay, we have this plot beat, we have this conflict, these characters, and then how they do it. But Hey Arnold like almost takes a detour from all of that just to say like, now we're going to spend some time with how it would feel to be in this situation, right? And how it would feel to feel like you were Arnold and you were powerless and a child, and that it didn't matter how much you loved something, it was still going to be taken away from you, and your love didn't mean anything, right? And then to demonstrate that to like, as sort of like a symbol to kids that like, look, this is a show that understands how you feel. This is a show that understands how that is. And then to preserve that at the end, it really makes the whole thing feel so much more earned and so much more full. And then that sort of brings me to the other thing, is the way that this show sort of like, it often formally recreates its message, not just in the story, but in the like architecture of the show itself, where like this is it's a show that always takes pains to demonstrate not just idealism prevailing, but idealism being tested. Like it never trivializes the fact that there are challenges, right? In fact, it goes very far the other way to demonstrate that there are legitimate reasons why people become so disillusioned and so jaded, right? Like the government agency example is a great one, because it's funny, but the comedy it's playing off of is the comedy of imagining that the government would care about something like this, right? Like it is blatantly played for laughs because of how absurd it is to think about that, to like imagine a world where that's possible, which that is a pessimistic joke, but it is a very good joke, right? And it plays super well despite its pessimism. And even sort of portraying grandma as this sort of like wingnut, right? And this idea that like, in order to still care and in order to keep fighting this fight for your entire life, you have to be a little bit crazy, right? Like, I don't think that the show is saying that it's not it's not crazy to continue to care. They're just saying that it's right to continue to care. So that's really great. And I really love that the show is able to handle both of those things, right? I think that it's brave, because I think that there's a real sort of like urge to trivialize the tension, because that would make it easier to swallow as a children's show. And there's a real sort of like urge to trivialize the victory as well, right? And I think it's a much harder needle to thread that the show does neither of those things. And then just, I guess, the last example that you brought up, Emily, is that it's wild to me that Big Bob is increasingly a likable character, despite being the ostensible bad guy, right? Like, again, I just think that is a harder target to hit, and it's one that Arnold always goes for, is that I don't think that Big Bob is ever like unambiguously villainous. I think that he's always funny and he's always charming and he always has sort of a change of heart, even though it's never the change of heart we want him to have, right? And just like we can see Big Bob in Helga, you can see a lot of Helga in Big Bob, right? In that he's not an idiot and he's like a funny, charming, hilarious person. And you love to root against him. And so I think that's another really good example of just Arnold, like, really firing on all cylinders and really, like, nailing these impressive targets, I guess.
Yeah, really well said. I think on top of everything else this episode is doing in it, and we kind of gestured at it a little bit, the thing that we've seen in a handful of other Hey Arnold episodes up to this point is, like, positions of authority encroaching upon, like, childhood havens or, like, safe havens for kids. The episode itself references The Vacant Lot, and I know we talked about that a little bit. Also, I guess, handful of times up to this point where, like, Arnold's bedroom becomes not like he's trapped there, but people like banging on his door trying to get in. I can't remember exactly what episode that was, but just like thinking specifically about treehouses, and I know I brought this up one other time, but just like the weird sort of like expectations or like the sort of standards that shows would set about like, this is what childhood is. Your elementary school has like a marching band and cheerleaders, or like it's commonplace. Just like I expected treehouses to be more of like a fruitful thing. I remember like seeing this and other shows like presenting treehouses, and I know I always wanted a treehouse when I was a kid, but I am from Minnesota, and so like it was mostly like a snow fort thing that was the more feasible option. I don't know if either of you have experiences with snow forts or treehouses or anything else like that, but that's I couldn't help but like latch onto that for a little bit. Just like, oh yeah, like treehouses, I was led to believe that this would be a thing that I could make use of someday, but such was not the case. Anyways, that was sort of like a tertiary thing I got from this wonderful episode.
Yeah, the treehouse calls to mind like all of the other kids shows and kids books I would have also seen with treehouses in them, Cody. That's what that's making me think of, like Captain Underpants. That's such a big part of it.
And oh, wow, yeah.
I think it's in what's the baseball movie? The
Sandlot.
Sandlot. There we go. Yeah.
I guess
it's like pivotal to those.
Yeah, and I guess simultaneously, the Mighty Pete also made me think of that episode of Recess with Old Rusty, like same sort of thing, like we're going to tear this old playground down. So it was like weirdly symbolic of like a lot of different things at once. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention real quick that, Cody, you mentioned something really important about the pivotal scene in this episode, which is that Arnold walks out back through the community that we've grown attached to. I think that's such a smart point to bring up, right? Because that like, it like locates Mighty Pete in like, it's not Mighty Pete, is it? Is it Pete? Did I get that wrong?
Mighty Pete, yes.
Mighty Pete. Okay, thank you.
Mighty Peter was his father.
Sure, okay. Right, of course. That was the one that was what Grandpa called him was Peter. And that was before he was Mighty, so he was just Peter. But I think that like putting it in a physical location like that, it does so much to characterize like why it means so much to the kids, right? Like I mean, and even Grandpa says it's like it's the only tree left in town, right? So like there's all of that. I had a treehouse growing up from like ages I want to say like
what?
Two to It was the neighborhood's treehouse, and all the kids used to come and play on it, and it was very cool. And a kid once fell out of it and broke his arm, which was kind of wild. And I think my parents were a little bit worried about litigious behavior, but it didn't ever culminate. And then when my parents got divorced, we moved away, and I've never had a treehouse since. And I have processed that in a healthy manner, and it has not affected my development in any capacity. That's what I have to say about that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm inclined to believe that without any doubt in my mind and or soul. With that in mind, any lingering thoughts or shout outs that either of you want to put forth with regards to Save the Tree?
Yeah, my final shout outs go to Helga's line where she said, "Curse the day I was born a Pataki." That's a really memorable Helga one for me. And shout out to Arnold's tree costume. That was so great during their protest for Mighty Pete. And I like that Bob called Arnold Alfred. And even, again, Helga Olga, which hurts every time, but he really cannot keep people's names straight. So that's a good bit in the show.
There are so many good lines. I mean, I always talk about Joseph Purdy's writing, but my man used the word unbridled. He had Francesca Marie Smith, who, as always, kills it. But he had this 10-year-old girl say, "My father's unbridled greed," which is just like, you got to love that. And then, like, the duality of Helga is so great here, too, where, like, she says words like unbridled, and she has these soliloquies that she brings up. But then also when Arnold is like, "I think if I hit the lever, I can stop it," and then throws the cup, and we immediately see the cup shatter, and we cut to Helga, and she goes, "I think if I hit the lever, I can stop it." It was so funny, and like she pulls it off so well, and you gotta love a Helga Arnold team up episode. On top of everything else, it's just great. You love to see those two. And I guess shout out to specifically to Grandma's hair when she is in her hippie outfit, because it looks righteous.
The fits never cease. Shout outs for the umpteenth time to Arnold's grandma. Again, the unbridled MVP. I definitely used that word correctly. Thus concludes our conversation about the first part of episode 29 of Hey Arnold. Don't touch that dial, because we've got another half of this episode to chat about after the break. So stick around and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Up next here, we've got episode 29B, class is in session, and that class is called New Teacher. Original air date, September 22nd, 1997. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. When the kids make their new teacher, Mr. Simmons, quit his job, the replacement makes them realize what they lost. Man, these Wikipedia synopses really tickle me sometimes. And as we always do, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible, we've got actually same credits as before. Dan Povenmire directing, and Joseph Purdy, a.k.a. the Purd Man, bringing it all together, again, with his mighty pen and equally mighty paper. Harry, what did you think about our introduction to Mr. Simmons?
Yeah, so I spent a lot of my powder on that first Joseph Purdy joint, right, where I said all that great stuff about how he's one of the best writers and he really understands the show, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, my man's done it again, right? Like, this is simply a perfect episode and one of the best episodes and most memorable episodes of the show in a lot of ways, right? I mean, I think that Mr. Simmons himself is a really iconic character for really great reasons, right? I mean, his development in this episode and what he symbolizes in the show sort of parallels the journey of the show itself, right? Where he is himself an idealist that is sort of unbroken by the logistical and institutional pessimism that would break so many other teachers. And ultimately that idealism wins out because the kids are able to actually see it and respond to it and grow with it. And that's a great message. It's a great message for kids who have actually had situations like this. One of my favorite aspects of this episode is the fact that they shout out how institutionally broken the school systems are at the top, right? Where it's like, they talk about how bad the last teacher was, how she leaves to be a professional golfer and they all cheer. And they have this established routine of breaking in the new teachers, but that's only because they've been so disillusioned by the process, right? And that's because of, uninterested administration like Principal Wirtz, who, like, when he says silence can speak volumes, Principal Wirtz says music to my ears and just walks out, because what does he care, right? He's the guy that hires a freaking drill instructor to come in and discipline these kids because he's, you know, he's broken by the system, as, you know, we all are. But I love that. I mean, Mr. Simmons himself is just a fantastic character. We would probably be remiss not to mention that, like, Craig Bartlett has since come out and, like, said that Principal Simmons is canonically gay. That is obviously, like, text in this episode, I believe, and continues to be, especially in episodes like Arnold's Thanksgiving. So it's an early example of really great LGBT representation in media, which is a really fantastic thing to see. But sort of even beyond that, Mr. Simmons is just a fantastic character, right? I think that, like, he brings an energy to the show that that we hadn't really seen before, in the form of, like, a mentor character that isn't like grandpa or grandma, but that is actually, like, sort of, like, engaged with the sort of learning of the children and their development explicitly, which is really cool to see. And I love the arc of this episode. I love what it means. I think it's hilarious, like all Joseph Purdy episodes are. The moment where the drill sergeant, Lieutenant Major Goose, makes Stinky stand in the corner, and after he makes the other three kids stand in the corner, and Stinky's like, "But why? I didn't do anything." And Lieutenant Major Goose goes, "Symmetry." It's one of my favorite jokes, maybe of all time. I think about it constantly. And there are a bunch of jokes in this one just like that. And it's super funny. So it's a great episode, I guess. That's what I got.
Yeah, you don't need much more than that. It's, yeah, iconic and great in all the ways you mentioned. Man, just, like, love to finally get Simmons on the show. It's like a flavor that you don't even know you're missing until it's there. And it's like, wow, just, like, this really pops now. All right, over to you, Emily. What did you think about New Teacher?
Yeah, this is another slam dunk Purdy joint, as Harry was saying. Obviously, really, really cool to see Mr. Simmons' introduction to the show, as he is such a fantastic character for so many reasons. LGBTQ plus representation aside, he's just, like, a great teacher and really caring, and wants the kids to all have their sense of individuality still expressed too, which I think was mentioned right when he's, like, first introducing himself, that they all have their individual ways of saying hello. So that's established right off the bat in a really nice way. And I like, just too, how many great shots there are in this episode. I think there's some really awesome ones of the kids on the playground, especially. There's a shot from below where all the kids are formed, like, around a circle talking to each other. So the shot, like, looking from above, at them is nice. And then we also have one where, the kids kind of trigger PTSD, as we were talking in the Hulu Watch Party about. They trigger this PTSD for Lieutenant Major Goose, which is not so great, but the shot itself is very funny, of the kids, like, wide-eyed expressions, and they have, like, distorted smiles, and they all look just out of control, basically. So, yeah, just a really, really good episode. There's also a lot that's funny about it, too. The fact that Miss Slovak has left to become a professional golfer, which is apparently her lifelong dream that we never knew about. That's really funny. But yeah, an awesome episode. Great introduction to Mr. Simmons. Can't wait to see more of him. And yeah, a fantastic episode of Hey Arnold, honestly.
Fantastic indeed. And honestly, from my point of view, it's hard to follow up Save the Tree, just because that is, like, a definite all-timer for myself and maybe everybody here as well. But New Teacher, definitely, if it doesn't like come close, it's at least probably on the same tier, again, at the very least. So we feel very blessed on this fine day to receive both of these episodes together. I guess my sort of other scattered thoughts about it, you know, and all the times that we've talked about episodes of Hey Arnold and, you know, preach the importance of these young characters sort of combating their authorities. Those are, you know, in situations where, like, the authorities don't necessarily see or treat Arnold and his friends like people. And so a situation like this where like Simmons, that authority, does treat them like people, it's like, it's a weird, like, we, I, like, watching Arnold and the rest of the students sort of take the time to digest that like they have this sort of knee-jerk reaction or like knee-jerk sort of process. You know, they talk about, you know, going with all the usual tricks that they would in this type of situation normally, but like they've never met anyone like Simmons before. And so like for anybody who's maybe come across that, you know, adult or authority figure or role model who like is actually puts that forth, like that's you remember that, you know, you remember that period. Chances are you remember the time it took for you to think like, oh wow, actually this person really cares about me. And we get, as I alluded to in one of our more recent episodes here, the sort of different flavors of oppositions in these episodes, like seeing Arnold sort of in the mass of kids who are against Simmons. I know there is one point where Arnold is kind of like the last one out of the classroom, and he gives a last sort of look to Simmons before joining everybody else and like running amok on school grounds. But it's interesting starting to see more of that now, where Arnold and everybody else is sort of, you know, they're in the wrong in a lot of ways, and they sort of come to the same conclusion together. That's like, I don't, that's like a nice, you know, experience of like, it may not be you learning about things by yourself. You know, a lot of times it's a group effort, and that's sort of nice to see. And, seeing the, yeah, like the ways in which this show continues to be idealistic while also being cognizant of like the obstacles for kids or for anybody to, you know, pretend otherwise, right? Like it's, you know, seeing Simmons for who he is and recognizing the like contemporary education system for what it is. Like you can do both. This episode does both. And they do a great juggling act, as they always seem to do.
Yeah. What really stuck out to me about what you just said, Cody, is not just the individual thing, although that is important, but just how well this episode understands and speaks to the child's perspective, right? Like, I think that this is an episode that is like very explicitly meant to be speaking directly to kids and understanding and empathizing with their position, right? Because like the kids do a lot of not so great stuff in this episode, right? Like they're openly insubordinate and they become unmanageable, right? But they're still the heroes of this story in so many ways. And we sympathize with their reasons for doing that, which is namely that they can't learn. Like one of the things that Gerald teaches or says to question Lieutenant Major Goose is, how come you don't ever actually teach us anything? And like, I think that's a really good point, right? Is that like, when you take this disciplinarian stance and you take this sort of adversarial stance against kids in educational system, it's impossible to teach kids that because you're just trying to control them.
Exactly.
And I think that this episode makes such a good point of demonstrating that not just that Simmons is a better person, he is like legitimately a better teacher, and he is legitimately the way you're supposed to approach teaching. And again, like the way that this show does not sidestep the pessimism or sidestep the institutional obstacles, like that we are seeing here how difficult it is for kids to learn how to learn because it's been something that's been taken from them, right? And so like the episode itself sort of alludes to that struggle where it's like, well, we can't teach these kids because they're so used to being like controlled or disciplined that they don't respond to teaching. And on the other hand, it's like, well, we can't respond to teaching when all you're trying to do is discipline us. So it's sort of like that. It alludes to that very difficult, very sticky and real chicken and egg problem in education. And I love that it has a solution to that, right? Which is that like, when you empower the kids to sort of like learn on their own and to actually not only learn, but apply their learnings in their own fashion and on their own terms, that is what gets them to come back to you, is that you have to make learning and education sort of valuable to them, right? Because like ultimately how they beat Lieutenant Major Goose is they learned from Simmons to keep asking questions, right? And so it's a perfect metaphor for that sort of idea of like they used real education to beat this guy who is like a disciplinarian, right? And so like I really love that. I really love that they actually learn from Simmons. They actually go through this character arc that Simmons teaches them, and in the process it restores faith in the whole like idea, right? And I think that that's really beautifully communicated by the last scene, which is another perfect sort of only in Hey Arnold scene, right? Where like after the episode's plot is over, we get this like minute long sort of epilogue where they just go on this great field trip, and it's not even playing triumphant music. It's just playing this like really soulful, like happy jazz music, right? And it feels so good to see that. And like, they're back out in the open, they're back out in a park, and it's just like, oh, like the show is telling me that like, if you work really hard and your intentions are in the right place and you listen to people, you can actually make a difference and restore something. And it's like, wow, what a good lesson to teach people, and what a good lesson to teach specifically kids who are specifically going to school every day and specifically feeling broken down by the oppressive systems that they're a part of, right? It's like, what an amazing thing to teach kids is that like, hey, like, you can still like learning, and maybe it's not your fault that you don't. And maybe you can get that back if you have the right backing, right? It's great. It's like a really like healing episode in a lot of ways.
Yeah. That last note, I didn't remember that as being part of this episode, but that was such a nice, like 30 to 60 second long note to sort of end on, as if to say like, this is, Arnold, I have a feeling, or Mr. Simmons, I have a feeling that this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship, like that sort of energy. And I think maybe tying together a couple of things that we've talked about recently, just as we're starting out on season two, just the ways in which this show is, I don't know if retooling is the right word to use, but just kind of like playing with character dynamics a little bit just to fit the narrative of, for example, like students uniting together to like combat a common foe, so to speak, in this new teacher. I already mentioned Arnold a little bit, how, I mean, he along with the rest of the students sort of joined together, and you see Arnold, dropping pencils and laughing along with everybody else. This is another instance of Harold being the kind of bully prime, I guess, child. And we were talking about in Harold's Kitty about how that was sort of an interesting note to start the season on, just because he's like not, like, we already know enough about him to know that like he's not that person, but just, man, eating Simmons's lunch is such a vile, sadistic thing to do. And I love Helga's call out on him later. Just Harold being like, if you guys weren't so mean to him, then maybe this wouldn't have happened. Just like, you ate a sandwich and broke his spirit. And then
it broke his spirit. It's so funny.
And I love that broke his spirit was second. Like, that's just, again, impeccable writing. It's like, you A, ate a sandwich, and B, broke his spirit. I know she doesn't call him a chucklehead. She calls him a chucklehead later. But I don't know. Like, again, that sort of wild sort of season two energy of, you know, this episode is a data point, and we're going to try some different things with these characters. There are going to be some different perspectives, some new characters that we're going to be integrating into the common flow of the show, which, hey, stay tuned for the next couple of episodes. So that's, like, I don't know, I'm on my toes. Not only are these great episodes, but I'm also kind of like, ooh, all right, we're trying some different things here. It feels comfortable. I don't know.
Indeed. I really like how Mr. Simmons establishes the you should never stop asking why type of theme, which is so prevalent in the show too, like we've seen throughout season one as well. Just the idea, Harry, you were talking about, of like standing up for what's right and doing the right thing, regardless of what, you know, the rule is that's in place, say in the vacant lot or the one we just talked about with Save the Tree, but just like adults and whoever may have these weird rules, but why do they have them? What is actually like beneficial for yourself and your community? And how can you actually make the world a better place by asking those questions? So Mr. Simmons is just an awesome character for so many reasons, but that's a great one. I think that brings out the theme of the show.
Yeah. And the way that it empowers the kids too, right, is that the show makes no bones about the fact that in the end, children have power. And that means that they have the power to educate themselves and that they have the power to disengage from being educated. Right. And so like, ultimately, education is the child's responsibility and their gift, right? And I think Simmons understands that. Simmons is like, I want to teach you what you want to learn, and I want to do it on your terms. And even Lieutenant Major Goose, the army man himself, can't stand up to that power, which is so good. I also just want a real quick shout out, my last shout outs, I guess, two things, which is one, the presence of direct action in both of these episodes. We got to love to see Joseph Purdy just making no bounds about the fact that, hey, sometimes it's okay to steal a bulldozer when your tree is going to get bulldozed, and there's nothing wrong with that, and it's actually great. Or like, sometimes it's okay to stand up to the evil principal and the evil teacher, and there is nothing wrong with that, and it's in fact what you have to do in order to create a better world for you and your friends. You gotta love to see that. And then also, you gotta love Joseph Purdy, my man. The pretentious literary student inside of him just can't resist making references to both William Ginsberg's Hal and William Carlos Williams. This is just to say in this episode, he plays off both of them, and he like rewrites two of the most classic works of American poetry. First, the one that Mr. Simmons reads to the class, which is about a tomato instead of plums. And then Gerald's freeform poem is an obvious take on Howl. It's so funny, and it works so well for the episode. And it's just great. And you love to see, like, if I were writing a show and I was the age that Joseph Purdy probably was when he was putting these together, I would have been like, ooh, I want to put literary references into my show. And so, like, I love to see that happen. You'd love to see it happen.
Yeah, my shout-outs go to the crown that Mr. Simmons has them pass around and trying to get them to say nice things to each other. And the last shot of the episode where you see them all at City Park, and it's a photo of all of the class and Mr. Simmons smiling and having a great time. Like Cody, you said, this will be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
That it is. With that, I would say class is dismissed. Thanks for stopping by. We'll see you next time here at Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can keep up with us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
And remember, silence often speaks volumes. You just may not find a lot of that here with us. Take it easy, everyone.
Cool. Simmons is next, baby.
Y'all ready for it?
I'm ready.
Can we ever get too sort of like in like jazzed? I feel like all of these episodes are just us being like, God, they did it again.
He did it. That crazy son of a did it. Greg Bartlett.